shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States. The cost of freedom is always high. No one can foresee precisely what course it will take. One path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender.
You ready for this?
Let's find out.
Listen to me very carefully, my friend. Killing will not bring you peace.
Peace was never an option.
Oh, Z, this is the big episode. This is Throwback Tuesday episode 50.
We're 50 years old now. We're 50 weeks old.
Technically, if you combine both our ages, we're kind of 50, aren't we?
Over.
What are you trying to say, Z? I'm old?
I'm older.
That's true. You are pretty old. I'll give you that.
But
you are pretty old, my friend.
Technically,
you're as old as Godzilla, but you're old.
No, technically, we have been doing this for a year.
Yeah, been doing it for a year now, and already, and this is the last episode, people. Just want you to know it's been fun, but, you know, we're both tired of doing this, so we're just going to call it a quits now. So, later, people.
The quickest episode ever.
Yeah, later, bastards, yeah. I am the phenomenal one, of course, BoiceWorldsPodcast.com.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
People, today we're talking about a very special movie today, Z's pick here, and it's very special to me for the simple fact that it's the actual good one, the only good one
out of
the whole series.
Out of, we count the Wolverines, too?
Hell yeah, we count it, because they count it, so shit.
This is the best one out of five.
3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, 6.
Are you counting Days of Future's Past?
No, that's 7. Days of Future Past equals 7. Remember, 3 X-Men movies,
mm-hmm.
2 Wolverine movies, and this one.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, it's 6.
God damn, they got 7 fucking movies and still they ain't got shit done right yet.
One of the best things about this movie is they got the casting right.
Oh my god, thank god, yes. We finally follow a Magneto of right age.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And we got a very entertaining.
There was no one star of the movie neither.
No, no one really stands out. Well, Jennifer Lawrence kind of stood out a little bit.
But she had chemistry with Beast, and Beast stood out as well.
Well, that was her boyfriend.
No, they weren't dating.
I think this is when they started.
Yeah, but they didn't date though. They never dated.
Oh.
They were flirting, remember?
Oh, but in real life, they were dating.
Yeah, in real life, they're dating.
Why? I don't know, but...
Are they still dating in real life, or...?
I think so. He would be stupid to give that up.
Yeah, he can do better. She ain't all that.
She can do better. He's not all that.
Yeah. They both can do better, to be honest. Just fuck them, bro. I'm tired of hearing about that bitch, to be honest.
But all cast, this
I got
is...
beef with her. I got beef with her right now. They put this bitch in... and Wolverine on the cover of the Days of Future Past. Only, you know why? Because they're the biggest actors in the movie and shit. I'm just like, we ain't even fucking about them, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about Days of Future's Past. I just think it's going to be a fucking mess.
A lot of reports are saying it's probably one of the best X-Men movies ever, so, but we'll see.
Well, I just think it's going to be a mess.
They say that about every X-Men movie except for that Wolverine one.
No, I'm just saying because you're tying into from the first class into the original one.
You remember? Did you read about what Bryan Singer said recently? He commented about the inconsistencies of all the movies. You know what he said?
What?
He said it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's a director really, really back in his work.
He said it doesn't matter. He's like, you know what he said? He said, I'm hoping that fans will forget some of those little things that are leading up to this movie or whatever, and just remember the bigger events of it. And I'm just like, wow, okay. This motherfucker didn't have any of this planned.
Yeah. Singer's doing, he wrote the new one. And he's doing Fantastic Four, too.
Ugh. Yeah, so far from me, at least, this is the only good X-Men movie, because once again, it's not a fucking Wolverine movie. Oh my god.
Exactly.
not sum that up enough. I mean, how many times is that man going to get an origin story?
We've seen six out of seven. It's all about Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. The first one, what was it about?
Well, they tied it like it was going to, then it was about Rogue. But it was still about Wolverine.
It was still about Wolverine, remember? Because he was the main star. The second one was about...
All about Wolverine.
His past came back to her. The third one was about... It's a love interest now. Wolverine, just like,
oh, Wolverine, Wolverine and Phoenix.
Oh my god. His origin. He finally got a solo Wolverine movie, which I was like, maybe this would be the good one, because now it's really focused on him. And then you still... You got as much as that, out of that movie as you did the first three about him.
Yeah, and then they made the new one.
They made the new one, and you just like, man, at this point, you just need to, you need to stop, seriously. Really.
And I'm worried about they're going to make this one a Wolverine movie, too.
He's on the cover of the fucking poster, I'm pretty sure they are.
Well, he is the quote-unquote biggest star.
That's bullshit. Fassbender is bigger than him at this point.
That's just because you have a man crush on Fassbender.
Fassbender is up and coming, though. Wolverine, what is he doing?
Would he really be considered up and coming still? Yeah.
He's hot right now. He's a hot commodity. Hell
yeah. Yeah, he's very hot. Commodity.
Oh, yeah. Especially coming out for Best Picture of the Year.
Mm-hmm. And he's in Assassin's Creed.
He's about to be Mr. Assassin's Creed himself. I mean, shit, he's a hot commodity right now.
Yeah, so I like Fassbender. He's really badass.
I really love Fassbender. I remember when they were first talking about this movie, saying it was going to be a Magneto movie, that they wanted to do a solo Magneto movie. And the beginning of this movie, I was just like, I so can see that, too.
With him?
Yeah, I was like, I can totally see that. Just a Magneto movie, because I kind of want to follow him being the Nazi hunter. Michael Fassbender, man, he can play a badass James Bond.
Is he English?
Is he Welsh? I can't remember. I think he is. I think he is from the United Kingdom, but I think he's Welsh, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's the same as Christian Bale.
Born in Germany.
Born in Germany.
Oh, that would cause a lot of hate if they got a German.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, never mind then. But I don't know. He's just a smooth motherfucker. Whatever. No, I'm going to go ahead and say I really love this X-Men movie. It is the best out of the series, but I don't give a shit what nobody says. Those first three are boring as fuck.
And, yeah, the second one was pretty good. Out of the original three, the second one was probably the best.
I fucking hate that one.
Would you want to say it's like the start of the X-Men, right?
Yeah, the beginning. Yeah. It's like an origin story to the actual X-Men.
And... Like we both agreed that the cast, every one of them, I'm going to throw even Kevin Bacon in there. Kevin Bacon makes a badass villain.
He's badass, man. I ain't going to lie. I like him a lot.
We said it in fucking Super. He's an awesome villain.
He's just charismatic and fun. That's why. He knows how to take the role and just, like, he's not too serious or over the top, but he's not too goofy at the whistle. He just has that perfect balance of hitting both middle grounds.
Exactly. He can make he's a very good comic book villain.
Yeah,
because he knows how to hit those strings.
He knows how to have fun with it, but yet still be taken seriously or whatever. Because you would never think of taking Kevin Bacon seriously, but in this movie he pulls it all to the point where he's like, oh man, he poses a threat. Because it takes him a while before you actually realize he has powers, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he so confident? Oh, because he's got these mutants working for him? And it's like, no, because he's like one of the most dangerous mutants right now.
Yeah, so in the start, like, we go pretty much at the very beginning, like, what, the very beginning of the first X-Men, too, mm-hmm. of Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Where he bends the gate, so it's pretty much just, looks like a kind of like a rehash of the first one.
The perfect, thing about this movie is it totally makes you understand where Xavier and Magneto comes from.
Mm-hmm. And
you totally relate to why Magneto hates humans the way he does and how he feels the way he feels. And you can totally relate to why Xavier. And I know they made Xavier a pimp in this movie. I like that shit.
Oh, he was. I like that.
He was using his powers like, I was just like, who wouldn't do that? I was like, they made him so like realistic to like what we would do if we had that kind of power, right?
Oh, I would do it too, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd be telling women all the time, be like, let me see what kind of drink you want.
Yeah, it
but
was.
No, I think this movie, it embodies the vision of what X-Men is, but it also gets those characters down so right and makes you have an understanding and feeling of what these people are and why they are 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
The person they are.
And everyone, even
get that. You never once get that in the original trilogy.
I really did enjoy McAvoy as Xavier. He was like smooth and confident, and he had like a sense of humor.
Yeah,
I mean,
love
like
James McAvoy, but I think this is the role where he just stood out to me. I was just like, he's a good character actor too.
Yeah, it's like then I know you're not really supposed to, but you kind of look at this and you look at the characters how they did in the first ones. Be like, okay, Xavier now does not seem like Xavier then.
No.
Fassbender, no. Same way. And
you know
why?
Because they're both too goddamn old to do anything.
And this, the original took place in 1944, with the Nazi, and so this takes place in the 70s? 62.
Yeah, because remember, I don't know what time frame the first one was in.
No, I have no idea either.
Time frame's all over the fucking place. He doesn't even know the fucking time. But,
no.
I'm assuming probably 90s or 2000s, somewhere around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And this one opens up with back in the 40s. But then, you know, years passed and they got older. So it's really taking place in the 70s, like you said.
Yeah,
Which I love those time period. A time period superhero film is always perfect.
Let me ask you something about Singer. Why was he not in a part of X3?
He was not.
He's not a part of X3.
I could have sworn he was.
Well, he did X-Men, X2, then he did Superman Returns. Then he did producer
right.
And writer of First Class, and then director producer of Days of Futures Past.
Yeah, that is right. He was not part of that. You know, I don't remember why he was part of it. Personally, I didn't give a fuck. I remember Brett Ratner was part of that one, right?
Yeah, we know that one.
Yeah, I like how people keep saying that's the bad one. Like, they all were fucking bad. Because you know why? They all led up to this moment right here. They all led up to this moment.
Fox?
You can fucking pinpoint where this movie was going when they first introduced fucking Wolverine's character in this shit. He's just like, okay, if this one goes anywhere near that, I'm gonna be like, alright, fuck
what
that.
What makes this also good is that Wolverine does have a little cameo, and he just goes, go fuck yourself.
That's the best I've ever seen Hugh Jackman as Wolverine do.
I love Fassbender's reaction. Well, okay.
Because they in that interview, they were asking Singer, hey, how come Magneto doesn't recognize Wolverine in the movies, or how come Xavier doesn't either, or how come Wolverine and Sabretooth don't know each other and shit like that? And I was just like, and he just said, I'm hoping that people will forget those.
You can't. That's impossible.
You know why people can't forget that? It's because people actually like those movies. So
I'm trying to think of what's like a rehash. Like Spider-Man. Like, they're trying to make us forget about Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from the new ones.
Exactly, and that one's a little bit harder because the last one, well, even with X-Men, that's right, they're not that old movies to forget about.
No, I think X3 came out, 2007?
06, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe that's why Singer wasn't involved, because he was doing Superman.
Yeah, Superman Returns came out at the time, so.
So, yeah, Fox, I don't know what the fuck Fox is doing.
It seems like at this point, they didn't have a plan to do any of these culminations. It's that thing we talked about with Harry Potter, whatever, how Harry Potter ruined young adult franchises and shit like that by splitting up two books. This is what Disney and Avengers have done.
Mm-hmm.
They've made every superhero film want to be a franchise now. And look, behold, they found a way of combining a movie that had absolutely nothing to do with the first trilogy. Find a way to mix it in with the trilogy now. I'm just like, all right, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, and nowadays, we just got the big casting news that Channing Tatum...
Oh, my God.
...is playing Gambit.
So you know what else they said in that interview as well? They said that Hugh Jackman is almost on the point of quitting as being Wolverine in X-Men franchises, right?
Probably because he's done so much. Well, he's got nothing much going on anyway, so...
I was about to say, he ain't got shit going on. Nobody looking for his ass. That's why I said I think Michael Fassbender is a bigger, hotter commodity, bigger actor than him right now, but... Because whenever you do, when you see Hugh Jackman, you're just like, well, nobody gives a shit. But, because the only thing they can think of is Wolverine. He was also saying, though, that Wolverine quit, that they were, or Hugh Jackman quit, they're looking for a star to take his place.
Oh, so they throw Channing Tatum in there.
Oh, give me a fucking break. Exactly. That's what they...
If Channing Tatum doesn't take his shirt off, people won't go see it. Well, girls won't go see it. I'm not gonna lie, I really did kind of like Gambit and Wolverine Origins.
He didn't really have shit to do.
He didn't have shit to do, but I'm like, it's a nice tease, but then they just kind of got rid of it, because Gambit's supposed to be this badass guy with long hair, and I'm like, Channing Tatum's like all muscular and shit, I'm like, and smooth and clean cut, I'm like, no, that's horrible. This is like Halle Berry playing Storm casting.
Yeah, this is like Halle Berry playing Catwoman type shit. She's only there because she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it was about Bryan Singer and the casting director on this next film that's coming out, but why they casting him? They were just like, we really like him as Gambit. I'm just like, he doesn't look the part, he doesn't act the part. I pray to God he does not do a New Orleans accent, because oh my God.
I don't think Fox. I'm very honestly, I don't not think Fox has like a casting call. I think they just like, who's the hot commodity now? Oh, this person just. Tell them they got the part if they want it.
I can see if he played Colossus, that would make sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
Colossus is Russian, but hey, if you want to change him Russian to American, whatever. I don't care about that part. I'd prefer Russian, but if he's American, fine. But Gambit is like, he's a trickster. He's cunning and swift and
he's smart.
Yeah, he's smart aleck. He's a trickster pretty much. And I don't see that on Channing Tatum at all. I don't get that casting choice at all, to be honest.
No.
But then again, I never got any of the X-Men casting choice. I think Hugh Jackman portrays a boring Wolverine character.
This was the only good one, because we can go through the whole list and be like, yeah, Jennifer Lawrence was pretty good as Mystique and Raven. January Jones was perfect as Emma Frost.
I thought Miss Jennifer Lawrence brought so much to that character Mystique than any of those other movies did.
Oh yeah, Rebecca Romijn, yeah. And
I think that about every character in this movie. What they did with Beast, I thought they added so much to his character death and shit like that. What they did with Mystique, I thought they did that. Every character in here, I felt like I've gotten a lot more out of those characters than I did in those three movies put together.
What was Fox's reasoning for starting First Class? Did they hate the original?
Magneto and Xavier movie. That was the plan.
Okay, but so they... I'm thinking, did they hate the original three?
No, this was always a plan of making... I don't think they wanted to add the rest of those characters in there, though.
Okay.
But I think they probably saw how big it could be, I guess, so...
Because we can pretty much...
They were always talking about doing a Magneto and Xavier movie. When the second X-Men movie came out, they were talking about it.
Yeah, because you can tell from... You can tell from all of them that... We can tell that Singer directed the first two, and we know Ratner can't direct...
Singer can direct, because I didn't like the first two, so...
No, but you can tell that it was one director doing those two. And then you get to the third one, you can know that it was a horrible director. Then this one was actually a smart direction.
And that first one was so goddamn boring. I had never been so bored in a fucking superhero film.
Yeah, and this one, I'm really kind of iffy on the new one.
I'm iffy what they're doing with Beast. I was like, there's so much potential for that character, and to hear that he's not going to be in Beast form most of the movie, I'm just like...
No, that's bullshit, because in X3, he's in Beast the whole fucking movie.
They're talking about he created a serum where he can control his Beast, like the Hulk. It only comes out when he's angry. I'm just like, okay, goddamn it. That sounds stupid. The whole thing about Beast is now he's supposed to be learning how to deal with this amongst human beings now.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking away that character's motivation and death away from him by doing that.
I don't know what Fox is doing. I think they're just trying to stay with Marvel.
Trying to stay relevant?
Try to stay relevant, so they're going to be doing all this shit.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, This is probably the first superhero franchise I really don't have any like high expectations or excitement to go out and see, though.
Right away. Not even Fantastic Four is on that same list.
Yeah, Fantastic Four is on the same list, honestly.
Your boy's in it, though.
Michael B. Jordan, yeah, my boy, but I personally just don't give a fuck. I wish he wasn't a part of that, to be honest. Because a lot of people say, oh, you don't want him part of it because he's black. No, I don't want him to be a part of it because it sounds like a train wreck in that movie, so.
Yeah, it's just that, we know, we have this discussion every freaking time that Marvel is doing it right.
Because they planned it many years ago.
They're planned to 2029.
They've been planning shit since 2007, okay? They planned it. And all these other studios are just trying to jump on the board because they see, damn, three of their movies made over $1 billion? Fuck. We gotta get on that, man. We gotta do that. And it's just like, no, please stop doing that. Stop worrying about what they're doing. Just do what you do.
We're, well, we know Marvel's one, but where would you rank DC and Fox? Well, you could throw Sony in there, too, because they got Spider-Man. Where would you rank those three?
Oh, man.
You can go on body of work.
I guess I'll go the Batman movie, so I'll give DC credit after that. Then Sony did the first original Spider-Man. So I don't like any of the X-Men movies or the Fantastic Four movies except for First Class. Fox is at the bottom for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. They just don't have... I don't think they have any plan on what's going on.
I think they just got big actors. That's all they got.
Yeah, we saw that. But this one, they have... I want to say Kevin Bacon was the biggest name at the time.
He's the most well-known name, yeah.
They have a lot of unknowns, which is interesting. I mean, this is the way movies should be, superhero movies should be. Get good actors that are unknowns.
Fassbender was doing, like, little indie films. McAvoy, he's been around the block a time.
But I think, did Wanted come out before this? Yeah, Wanted
came out before this, and it made a lot of money.
Wanted was huge, yeah.
Got good critic praise on it and stuff like that, but it's nothing that made him stand out as far as like, oh, he needs to be the star of it or something like that. He's not a go-to star movie franchise guy, you know?
Yeah, and Jennifer Lawrence, she wasn't, I think this is before Hunger Games.
This was before Hunger Games and Silver Linings Playbook, so she wasn't that Oscar girl that
she just did Winter's Bone, and that's a
yeah, did nobody remember her for that, so.
So she was a nobody. January Jones, she was
second biggest
in stuff.
Yeah. Nicholas Holt, he was new to the Beast.
Yeah, and he's a nobody. And you can even throw the other people in who played Angel. That's Lenny Kravitz's daughter, I believe.
Yeah, Lenny. Oh my god, that girl's fine as fuck.
Banshee, Havoc, Darwin.
Cyclops' little brother.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. See, you know what I'm saying? About inconsistency in movies. In Wolverine Origins, fucking Cyclops was a kid.
Yeah, when did that take place? What was the time frame on that one?
That was later than this movie.
Makes no sense.
So how the fuck is Havoc older than fucking Cyclops in this movie or whatever? It doesn't matter because Cyclops is dead. So we kept him. He's like, oh my god, come on. That was another great. And I love that storyline of Cyclops and Havoc when they found each other because they got separated.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole brother shit. That was like one of my favorite X-Men stories going on as far as just focusing on human character because Cyclops was ready to give it all up for the finest brother shit. He's ready to put his life on the line for it and shit. I swear, these movies never capture anything incredible from those books or that cartoon show at all, or whatever. It's just a generic superhero films at that. I think this one captures the most because it does answer those questions. Especially at the end, it's just like, oh my god, we live with mutants on here. We need to destroy them all or whatever shit.
Mm-hmm. I'll do a rundown real quick. X-Men First Class, directed by Matthew Vaughn, starring James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender.
Love Matthew Vaughn.
Rose Byrne, who looked fucking hot. January Jones, Oliver Platt, I don't know why he's so high on the list. Kevin Bacon. Budget, $140 to $160 million. Box office, $353. And we pretty much just get the origin story of Magneto, Professor X. And
ultimate bromance story.
Which, yeah, it's true. And this movie, I think they made you want to forget. I think you're right. They made you want to forget about the original three. Cause
you think this is a reboot, don't you?
Yeah, watching it, yeah, you do.
Yeah, because I was thinking it was going to be a reboot, too, and I was just like, okay, let's do the 80s X-Men next, and then the 90s, and let's work our way up and shit like that, because that'd be badass if each movie just introduced a new character, how it added to the team and shit. I was like, yeah, that's how you do these X-Men movies, but...
But going off of where it starts, like in 62, like, you know, this is where... In Wii 44, you get the whole thing with Schmidt and Shaw, and
it, that was awesome, dude. Kevin Bacon doing the German accent and shit.
Yeah, you can tell. You could tell he had a blast doing this.
He was fucking chewing. Once again, Kevin Bacon always chewing up some scenery, though. Like he was smiling. His eye. He was just like, wonderful. I was like,
he is like, I'm really upset that he does not get more work in comic book movies.
Dude, I thought he would have been in Guardians of the Galaxy because, you know, him and James Gunn are like fucking close friends and shit. But I guess because he got that TV show, I don't know how his schedule is.
Yeah, I'm surprised Fox doesn't cancel that shit.
Yeah, because I was hoping he was gonna be the voice of Rocket Raccoon. I was like, he'd have been perfect of Rocket Raccoon.
I think maybe he could have been the voice of Ultron too.
He could do that too. I mean,
Spader does have a good voice though.
You would think he would have been in something because him and James Gunn are boy, but I guess it's because of his TV show is doing so well right now, and so I guess his schedule is probably a little off. So I don't know, but I would love to see him do that though.
But you know, and then we go to 66, and we go to 62, and
we see him at the Nazi Hunter.
Yeah, this is pretty much going back to Inglourious Basterds.
Dude, this is some badass shit, dude. I ain't gonna, remember when he was at that bar, dude? He was just sitting there, just like, telling them stories and shit.
He
like,
wants to find his maker.
Remember the music they had playing in the background too?
Yeah, he says he wants to find his maker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm kind of worried about, like, they want to find his maker. I mean, Shaw really didn't make, well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's doing experiments.
Remember, he didn't know how to control his powers or use them at all at that point or whatever. And Shaw was the one that experimented on him as far as making him use his powers and shit.
Yeah,
which is was a really good motivation thing there too, as far as killing his mother and all that stuff. That was really good how they did that. Well, it gives this character so much understanding of why
you get more depth in the first 15 minutes for Magneto than you get for all three combined.
You really do, and because in the previous you just think, oh, he's the bad guy sitting here, but in here you sympathize with Magneto to the point where you're just like, yeah, I hope he finds him and kill his ass.
Mm-hmm. And
I love that scene where Xavier, when he was trying to move the satellite, and Xavier tapped into his mind or whatever, and Fassbender shed that tear real quick. I was just like, wow, that was some good shit right there.
Yeah, it's amazing cinematography as well.
Yeah, exactly. This one was another one of those superhero films where it was just like, this one's definitely up there as far as like up there in the Iron Man Dark Knight territory and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. It's this, I mean, just watching this, you're thinking of that it's a complete reboot, and you know, if you think about it, you don't really want to reboot a movie so close together.
I wish it would have been.
I mean, Spider-Man made that mistake.
I was happy, dude, when I saw it. I was just, oh my god, thank god, they're starting it all over again. Oh.
I mean, Spider-Man made that mistake too. We know that the Amazing Spider-Man, they just, I want to say it was like a 7-year difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
what was the last one came out in 07, 08?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah, so 07, 08. So, yeah, it's about around that time then. Yeah.
Oh, that was like three or 4 years. Well, we all know why Sony made Spider-Man. We know.
Yeah, they have a contract. They have to make it.
Yeah, so we know why. Why Fox did this, we don't know.
Oh, I know. Money.
Yeah, I mean, unless they did have a contract that they were going to lose it.
Which they don't have that contract, though.
No.
They own the rights to this shit.
Yeah, and Marvel, I really wish Marvel would have got their hands on Spider-Man and X-Men.
The only way they're going to get their hands on this is if nobody goes sees Days of Future Past and it fails hard, terribly. And then Fox decides that we're not making any more money off this franchise. The best thing we can do with it is sell it.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
I mean, I'm sure Marvel would still pony up like $100 million for it.
And they wouldn't even sell it for that. Why would they do that when they can make that money from making an X-Men movie? These X-Men movies don't fail, no matter how bad they are. It's just
no.
The Wolverine movie made a shitload of money.
What, I mean, then we, this is pretty much, you know, they tied it in a little bit from the original, because, you know, in the original three, Xavier does say a lot that him and Magneto were, they knew each other beforehand.
But this one, that's a tie-in to the first movie, though. That's a tie-in to their relationship.
Yeah, they didn't know each other before. And it wasn't, that was never said that they were, like, besties.
No. These guys, you can tell, though, from the first one, they had, like, a mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, and
they just had different agreements on things.
Yeah, and they pretty
Xavier
much...
Xavier wants to, the mutants to get along with humans. Magneto is saying, we're the superior. He's pretty much a racist. We're the superior.
Yeah, he is. And his long, Magneto's lone goal is just to kill Shaw. That's his lone goal. And we get pretty much
to realize that humans and mutants will never get along, and that they need to be extinct.
Yeah, and pretty much, Shaw has his own little people with Emma Frost. Who, goddamn, January Jones looked gorgeous.
She should have stopped in this movie. I mean, goddamn, she was. Which, by the way, in Wolverine Origins, she was a kid. So.
What was that supposed to be, Emma Frost in that?
Yeah, the one, remember when she turned into
diamonds.
Yeah, it was at the end of the film. I was just like, yeah, their continuity is way off here.
Well, I think Fox want people to forget Wolverine Origins.
They really do. That's why they made that next one, like, not even, it wasn't a sequel, but it wasn't a reboot either.
It was just kind of like the Men in Black thing. Like, watch this movie and forget about the other one.
Pretty much, yeah.
And he has Azrael, I think, I don't know. Who was like, looked like a demon and ripped.
Like Nightcrawler.
You think Nightcrawler when you see him. And
you get what I'm thinking, though. You think Mystique probably slept with this guy and had Nightcrawler. Because I don't know if you know, but Nightcrawler is, that's Mystique's son.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
I don't think they'll go that. Well, it is Fox.
Yeah, they can't go that route because it'd be like, okay, Nightcrawler's a grown ass man at this point now. What the fuck?
Yeah, and he has his own, and then Magneto and Professor X has his own people, like, of these young kids, like Havoc and a Mystique. And was Mystique and Xavier the same age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got that little scene at the beginning where she's like, where she breaks into his house.
He might be like maybe 3 years older than her, a couple of years, but they're not like, it's not like a 10-year gap or anything like that. It's pretty similar. I thought they added so much character depth to both of those characters by making it that way. You really understand where Mystique comes from and why she teamed up with Magneto in the first place, because
she wasn't accepted.
Yeah, exactly. He accepted her for who she was at the time.
Well, just as Raven, not as Mystique.
Yeah.
And but they kind of made Mystique kind of like a slut.
How so?
Well, she tried to get with, you know, she's watching, you know, Xavier picking up all these girls at the bar, and he's not, you know, she obviously looks like she has kind of like a crush on him. He doesn't.
I wasn't going to say it would make her like a slut. I think it just made her feel like insignificant because of what she is.
Well, then she tried to get in with Magneto when she was in the bed, and then she was like flirting with Beast.
Yeah.
So it's like she has like three love interests that they kind of like toyed with.
I wouldn't say love interest. I think it's going a little too far now.
Well, they okay.
Yeah, I don't think Xavier was a love interest.
But she had a crush on him. Or she felt...
I wouldn't say she had a crush. I think she just feels... Come on now. She's hanging around this guy left and right, and he's hitting on other women, but yet he doesn't make a pass at her.
Yeah.
Made her insignificant.
Yeah, they kind of made her really underappreciated.
Exactly. And that's definitely the motivation how Mystique feels of why she teams up with Magneto in the first place, and why those two have such a common likeness between each other in the original three, which you never understand why so much. But.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of... And the original three, they kind of made Mystique like Magneto's go-to person, his number one. And this one, we kind of actually saw that Magneto he embraced her to be Mystique, because he says, I want to see the real Raven.
And that's why she teams up with him and sticks around with him. And I love that ending, too, where Xavier tells her to go with him.
Yeah, because that was probably for best.
Yeah, it just shows you the kind of character that Xavier is. He's, even though she picked him just because out of, you know, this is kind of like my family here. But Xavier's like, no, you don't want to be here, so just go with him. You'll be better off and shit. No one, even though she might do bad shit, he still said that.
And they never said anything in the original about Mystique and Xavier having any type of history. And who's playing? I mean, who's playing Mystique in the future? Is it Rebecca Romijn?
I don't even know if they'll have her in the future. To be honest,
she has no career, so she has nothing going on.
Yeah, I don't. It's a lot of people saying, oh, the future part's only going to be for like 5 minutes. I'm hearing the future part's going to have a huge fucking part of the movie. I'm just like...
It's all going to be about Wolverine. We know that.
I don't want to see Halle Berry as Storm. I don't want to see this Iceman. I don't want to see any of these fucking people and shit like that. Let's get into some of the minor characters here, though, which I really love their powers. I think this movie does another great thing, is it displaying these people's powers better than the original
movie. Yeah.
We're talking about Havoc, who pretty much locked himself away because his power, you don't know how to control the shit. He's just shooting all over the place.
Yeah, Banshee.
Loved Banshee. His flying scenes were awesome.
He seems like he could be a bad guy. I just think the way he was. I think he could be like how, like in X3, how, what's the fire guy's name?
Oh, Pyro?
Yeah, like, well, that would be in 2, where he kind of has some bad tendencies.
You know, the funny thing is about, you never know about these X-Men characters. Any one of them look like they could be off as a bad guy or good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know how the world's going to treat a person, how they react to it. All it depends on how they react to how they're being treated and shit. So yeah, I could see anybody
turning bad at the drop of a dime.
In the X-Men franchise.
Yeah, Angel. Mm-hmm. Beast had a kind of significant role.
He played a huge role with Jennifer Lawrence and shit. I love what they did with Beast.
He was trying to find like a cure, kind of like what the Angel was, or not the Angel, that kid was in X3, right?
Yeah, he was trying to find a cure that could suppress his Beast mentality, but instead of suppressing it, he made it come out even more.
You know what they could have done? I know they could have done this. Like, when he injected himself and he turned into the Beast, they so could have done like a werewolf in Paris, or in London. They could have, you know, that scene where he turns into the werewolf?
Yeah.
That, how awesome would that have been if he did that, if they did that part?
That wouldn't have worked, man, because that's not Beast, so.
Okay. But, and you also have Darwin, which...
You want to make a horror movie about Lord of the Rings? This ain't Beast. That ain't Beast. Beast can control his fucking...
Yeah. But Darwin, I think Darwin was the weakest one. Like, he can just adapt.
That wasn't weak. That was cool. What are you talking about?
Well, what did Shaw put in his mouth to kill him?
Put a bomb in his mouth.
And he couldn't adapt to it?
Yeah, I don't think you could adapt to a bomb being thrown in. Because remember, Shaw can absorb your energy and throw it back at you.
Yeah.
So Shaw is a badass. I think Shaw has a badass power, to be honest. I
mean, Shaw's power was... What exactly was his power? Like, everything, wasn't it?
He can pretty much absorb anything you throw at him. Radiation, all that shit. And he can just throw... And he can use it as, like, a bomb to throw back at you and shit.
Yeah, and
you... But 20 times the force, though.
You could even throw in... Shaw's bad guys, Riptide and Azul. Riptide just...
First of all, let's get on the brother that can adapt, though. That shit was... his powers are awesome for the simple fact that, like, motherfucker could be in a tsunami and become the tsunami or some shit like that, but...
I just think maybe...
That brother quick, though.
I just think maybe his character, the guy that Eddie Gedde... I don't know how to say his last name. I think he's African, I don't know. I just think he just didn't look... He just looked like a young kid that was, like, too emotionally drawn.
I liked him, because I thought he could have been, like, the leader of the team, of the younger ones, at least, without Magneto and Xavier.
Who was the leader?
The responsible one there, but,
Was Beast the leader? Was he, like, the voice of reason?
No, he was too weird. It was definitely going to be that kid, but they got rid of his black ass quick. They were just like, yeah, we don't like niggas in this franchise, so...
They don't, because they killed what's-his-name in Wolverine.
Kevin Bacon told him, yeah, nigga, adapt to this.
I love that line, though. That was a smart-ass line.
Which one? Oh, when he died?
Adapt to this.
Yeah. Let's see how you adapt to this. And then I like how, because I like how they showed his powers trying to adapt to it, but he just couldn't figure out what it was. So he just blows up. I was just like, well, damn. That was a. I like that scene a lot, though, where him and Javi, because the way Kevin Bacon's is like, we got another contestant here. What's your power? And the way that that kid was turned around, he's looking all smooth. And he was just like, well, me? I just adapt. And then Javi came up. I was just like, oh my god, this scene was awesome. I love that scene. Until Kevin Bacon grabbed his ass and said, let's see how you adapt to this. I was just like, damn, they had to kill that nigga, didn't they?
That was a badass line. Shaw's lines were perfect, and Kevin Bacon, we've been saying it all the whole time, he made him work.
He's such a great villain. He really is. He's just... Because he looks like a slime ball at times, but yet he can still be smooth and charismatic at the same time, too. I even liked, even though she's not, like, a really big part in the movie, what they did with Lenny Kravitz's daughter. She has this one line in there that I liked about the movie that kind of sums up what the X-Men are all about. She was just like, people are staring at me. I'd rather people stare at me with my clothes off than with my clothes on these days.
Yeah. But the new characters, it's nice. I mean, it's all, but the three main ones are Shaw, Magneto, and Xavier.
Yeah, because now you know that Bryan Singer's taken over and has created Days of Future Past. You ain't gonna see any of these people.
So those were the three main ones, but it's nice that you got a little bit of story with the other ones.
Yeah, because, you know, the main characters of this movie supposed to be was James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, and it's nice that they threw in those subplots with Beast and Mystique and the rest of them. You really got the feel for all these characters and people and who they were. At least I did. I don't know.
I did. Yeah, I'm with you.
I was like, this is supposed to be an Xavier movie, and not yet I get so much more from Mystique and Beast as well at the same time. I thought every character got their moment to shine, whether it was in story or action.
Oh, yeah. I think the story overpowered the action.
I gotta agree with you on that one, too.
Even though the action scenes were cool, I mean, Shaw had an unusual plan, which...
That's the thing about the X-Men movies, though. The story is supposed to overshadow the action.
Yeah, and the first three didn't.
No, hell no. Because the story in the X-Men movie, they kind of related it back to, like, it was, like, racism and stuff like that, and segregation and all that shit. And they had so much, like, in-depth story to tell with, like, how, you know, real-life shit going on. Because, you know, mutants and humans and stuff like that. And they went deep into those stories. And this is the first movie I ever actually felt like that actually got told.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it. That the story actually made it interesting that you want to know what's going on.
I love the training montage, too.
I did, too.
I thought it was funny, especially when Fassbender stuck his hand out.
Yeah, and they're trying to make Havoc harness his power not be so wild.
Yeah, or when they kept pushing Banshee off and shit, and his ass couldn't fly. He told Magneto to stay away from him and shit, because they kept pushing him and shit. I thought that shit was really cool. I absolutely love the scenes with Xavier and my Magneto, though, because I thought that was like really where the heart of the story was at between the two.
Oh, they had great chemistry with each other.
They really do.
It's just a shame that, you know, Stewart and, what's his name? Ian McKellen, they didn't have that.
It fucking is, man. It's seriously...
they had the grandpa feel.
Man, they had, like, they just old-timers ready to play chess or some shit like that. You know, just like, alright, can y'all... When y'all gonna... I don't mean to be mean, but when y'all gonna die in real life? I ain't gonna see y'all no more.
Even though Patrick Stewart is a perfect old Charles Xavier.
No, he's boring.
Yeah, you think he's boring?
He's fucking boring. Even the old Xavier in the fucking books and shit did more than he does. All Xavier does in those fucking movies was roll that fucking wheelchair and touch his fucking head and shit. I was like, man, this dude is boring in that wheelchair. The Xavier I know from the wheelchair and shit... That motherfucker was active.
Yeah, and... Oh, I love the little subtle hints.
What's the memorable thing you remember Xavier doing in those trilogies?
Dying.
And then coming back saying, we're all full of surprises.
Yeah, and I love the little subtle hints. Like, we can shave your head. Like, you're not touching my hair. I'm like, ha.
Huh. Rose Byrne is like, you guys are no longer a G-Man anymore. You're X-Man. He's just like, oh, I guess I should shave my head now. Or like,
did they just throw in Rose Byrne's character for a human aspect?
How fucked up is that, though? Because, you know, those two fell for each other, and he had to wipe her memory clean.
Yeah, but if she's not going to play a big role, eh.
They had a character like that in the books that did play a role like that, where Xavier kind of... It was someone where he kind of, like, went back to a couple times, but she never remembered who he was and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as, like, if this would have been a solo franchise, then maybe they would have. But since it's fucking teaming up with the original three now, it's like, eh, that probably isn't going to go anywhere now. So.
Yeah, I mean, she did her part well. She looked great. Because
they did have this character for Xavier where he almost kind of regretted doing what he did and shit, but he didn't want her to be part of this life where she would be part of being crucified by humans and shit like that for loving a mutant.
Yeah. Do you think they might
go there? You see what I'm saying, man? There's a lot of story in these fucking, in these characters and shit like that, and they don't, and they never fucking dwell on the, in these X-Men movies.
Do you think they might go that route? Do you think they might go, like, the entire, the full-blown racism of the mutants?
No.
No? Is that too powerful?
Fucking, how many movies has it been? Have they ever touched it yet, besides this movie?
No.
Exactly. I don't think they're ever gonna fucking get into that, really.
That would make it more dramatic.
That was the reason why the humans created the Sentinels and started capturing mutants and shit and torturing them and shit like that, because they were trying to get rid of them. It was just pretty much, they wanted to do commit genocide to each race.
Yeah, and that would be perfect for Fassbender now, because he was in 12 years.
Oh my god, he should pull that magnetic whip out and whip that ass.
Yeah, but I mean, Rose Byrne, she was just there. She didn't really add anything to the movie, she just looked good.
I think she adds a lot to the movie if they would have continued doing it by themselves, but since that's not going to happen now, I guess, yeah, it doesn't add anything now. Thank you, Bryan Singer. I really appreciate you.
And with Emma Frost is probably done, right? She's not coming back.
She's a huge character, actually, in the stories and stuff like that, but you don't see her in the show. That's the thing, you don't know who's in this fucking movie, to be honest. So.
Yeah,
Because I'm telling you, man, everybody talking about how X2 is such a great movie. These X-Men movies are like Transformer movies. Robots come and go. Mm-hmm. Like mutants. They come and go. They don't ever keep them around. You'll never stick around and see them in the next one. You don't see, even though Nightcrawler is a fan favorite, and so is Gambit, you'll never see them in more than one movie, you know?
So Emma Frost is probably done.
Could be, I don't know. They winked at her in the origin movie and they brought her in here. I mean, I would assume she'd come. She's part of Magneto's team now, but, you know, you never know.
But Jared Jones, like, her outfit, oh my god.
What did you think of the X-Jet? Seeing that for the first time.
A lot better than the first one.
Looked more realistic, huh?
Yeah, it didn't look like it was just a fucking... It looked like they didn't throw something together 5 minutes for the scene, but...
Let's talk about that, I would agree. It didn't look like it was hanging off a green screen. Let's talk about that ending where fucking Fassbender killed Kevin Bacon, though.
With Xavier in his mind. With a nickel, with the nickel from the fucking first scene. Or quarter, whatever it was.
Talk about some ultimate revenge for your ass, man.
That's just awesome. He's just real perfect, awesome directing. Perfect slow motion, and yeah. You're the coins going through his head, and you're seeing Xavier screaming because he feels it too.
Yeah, because he's inside of Kevin Bacon's head, so he's feeling everything that he can feel and shit. Perfect. That scene was shot just beautiful. Matter of fact, that's one of the opening scenes of the movie, is him flipping that coin around his fingers and shit.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Magneto carry a coin in the original three?
I don't remember seeing the coin, but
I thought maybe he did.
Maybe he did. I don't remember, to be honest. But
and yeah, then
that nigga got his revenge, though. And then he's just like, "Sorry, Xavier, I have to handle this myself." He's like, "Eric, don't do this."
Yeah, because Shaw's plan was to have pretty much start World War III, and have Russia, have something with Cuba, starting with USA and Russia starting.
He was going to have the humans exterminate themselves.
Yeah, but you see Shaw's powers of what he can do. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to do that. He can just.
Hey, guys, why get your hands dirty?
That's true, but if Yisawa Shaw does, he doesn't need, he can just go out on a fucking genocide and just kill everybody he wants.
Until, but then again, you gotta understand that this is the first part of where mutants, he doesn't know any other mutants at the time, whatever, he doesn't know what power can stop him, whatever, so why put yourself out in the, a boss never puts himself out in the forefront.
Yeah.
You have other people do your dirty work first before you decide. Only way a boss comes out is if the threat is imminent enough for you to come out. You don't ever put yourself out there.
Let me ask you something. Like, Shaw said he got that helmet. The Russians made it for him, so nobody can get into his mind.
Yeah.
The Russians have no problem with mutants?
Yeah, they probably didn't know he was a mutant. Or he probably tortured them. Because remember, he had that torture chamber for the longest, so...
Yeah.
I remember he was teaming up with some of them, but then until he... decided to get rid of them, but
so yeah, I mean, that was
on that boat and they were talking and whatever, and decided to kill some of them also.
And how awesome was that scene with Fassbender holding those rockets when all those ships from Russia and USA blew all those rockets?
That was an insane scene, because you really thought that if Xavier didn't stop him, then he probably would have fucking murdered everybody on that. Yeah. The best thing about that scene too is Xavier taught him how to do that.
Yeah, so pretty much Xavier created the monster.
Yeah, it's kind of like you kind of feel responsible now for teaching him to really hone in on how to tap the full potential of his power now and shit.
And are you an X-Men comic book fan?
I love that. That's one of the best books ever. That was the X-Men comics were the first books to introduce comic books into an adult territory of making them more sincere and realistic because of the segregation and racism that it dealt with in the movie and the books and stuff.
I
think the movies are the biggest insult to a comic book franchise I've ever seen.
Over everything?
Over everything.
Even Superman?
Even Superman.
Oh. How did Xavier end up in a wheelchair?
It was because of Magneto. It wasn't because of that scene, though. Actually, I don't remember the actual scene of how that happened. I want to say it was, God, I can't remember. Him and Magneto was on a mission or some shit like that. I cannot remember that scene, though. But
so, this was just out of nowhere.
In the movie, you said?
Yeah, where Magneto pretty much deflects the bullet and it hits his spine.
Yeah, that was never in the books or anything.
Okay. I'm curious on how it really happens, because...
Actually, like this one as well. I need to go back, because now that you bring it, I really don't remember how he got the chair, but I thought that how they did it in this movie was actually damn near well, whatever, because...
It was creative.
Yeah. So Magneto was trying to blame Rose Byrne, and then Xavier told, nah, she didn't do this, you did this to me.
Yeah, and just the pit, the his react, Fassbender's face. This is why Fassbender is going to be a major player in Hollywood for years to come. His reaction, where he realizes that Xavier's right, it was his fault for doing this, because they were best friends.
Yeah, and that's why they have that mutual respect. That's why I put this movie up there with, like, the first Iron Man and the Dark Knight and all that shit. Because the way they act in this movie is far beyond superhero level or anything like that. I really thought this was one of the best superhero movies of the time it came out and shit.
Yeah, they just showed a trailer the trailer for X-Men on TV because I'm watching the basketball game.
Yeah,
and it looked like Jennifer Lawrence was gonna kiss Hugh Jackman.
Oh my god. Alright, don't tell me about that piece of shit.
And I think that, I mean, it was creative, and then, you know, he wipes Rose Byrne's hat, you know, mind clean. And
it's gotta be hard to do, too, because Xavier's done that to a lot of people throughout the books and shit, just wiping a person's memory clean, because you don't want them to be involved with the stuff you do.
Yeah, I think it's probably for her protection, too.
It was for her protection. Because
she was a CIA agent?
Yeah. It was for her protection, because, you know, he didn't want her to get caught up in because he tells her, he's like, you know, they're going to be looking for me. They're going to be hunting down mutants now that the world knows about mutants or whatever. And she's like, I don't care, I'll be with you to the end. And he's just like, yeah, we'll see about that. So he wiped her memory clean so she wouldn't remember him. And you know, Xavier was feeling for her, so that does carry like a length on his shoulders and shit like that. I hope they actually introduce more of that into Days of Future Past by how this all reflects, because this did hit Xavier hard in his younger years in the books and shit when he had to keep doing that shit.
Yeah. God, this is such a good movie.
What would you give the movie?
I would give it 4 stars. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, as an X-Men movie, this is, without a doubt, the best of the entire franchise, any X-Men movie.
This was the first movie I got on Blu-ray.
Very first?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't got Blu-rays in a while.
Yeah, this was the very first movie I got on Blu-ray, because I had a Blu-ray player before that, but I never used it.
I think, acting-wise, this is great. This is the perfect casting. I mean, I'm sure Sony didn't have a say in the casting, or not Sony, Fox didn't have a casting choice in this one. This was straight from the director and writer and stuff.
Do you think it's really Fox, or do you think it's Bryan Singer at this point?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I think maybe Fox might have, like, okay, here he might give him choices.
Because I know Matthew Vaughn has a huge part in this movie. I wish he would have been coming back for Days of Future Past, to be honest. I love Matthew Vaughn.
I think they wanted to maybe have a clean slate. And they probably be like, okay, just, you know, cast the best ones. Because this is more dramatic than action. The story, I think, overwhelms the action.
I think the movie balance does a great balance of acting and story and action.
Yeah, because if you got to think, come on, do you really think Fox would have Kevin Bacon as Shaw?
Hell no. Well, I don't know. I don't know what Fox would do, to be honest.
Because they casted Halle Berry as Storm.
Bryan Singer did that, too. So once again, don't give credit to Bryan Singer. I don't know how much Fox has involvement in the X-Men movies compared to what the director does, because the director is the one, Bryan Singer is the one that really comes out on these movies a lot more than the studio does. This isn't Sony.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Vaughn is pretty good. Vaughn's a very good director.
He is good. First Kick-Ass.
Yeah. And that's probably why they gave. That's probably why Fox gave him this.
Well, Matthew Vaughn is a big part of comic books. He knows his comic book movies. So,
You know what? Vaughn could have been Fox's Whedon.
It could be. I don't think he has enough credentials as Whedon does, or whatever. I don't think nobody will give him the chance. I think he's under contract with Fox, if I'm not mistaken, though. So
yeah, and I don't think, and Vaughn doesn't have like the following.
No.
That Whedon does, because Whedon had a, you know, Buffy, Firefly, shit like that.
Yeah, he had motherfuckers coming out saying,
yeah, so Whedon has a following. Vaughn, his first major thing was Kick-Ass, correct?
Directing-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't, no. He did something, he did like 3 movies, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm looking at,
I don't remember, to be honest.
He did Layer Cake? Or he produced that?
He did Stardust before that, right?
Directing. Where's directing? Director. Layer Cake, Stardust, Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
First Class. Well, he wrote First Class and directed it, too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give First Class. I'm going to give it a see it.
Exactly.
I think this is the best X-Men movie. I think it's one up there pretty much in the top echelons of superhero films, because there's so much more here than just a superhero aspect to it.
Oh, yeah. That's very well said.
Yeah. Matter of fact, if anything, this is like The Dark Knight and Iron Man, to the point where you're like, I don't want to see the fighting or the action or anything like that. The characters in here are so great. The acting is so great that this story has me more involved than anything else going on right now. And I really like where they're going with this. I wish they would have continued that, but it looks like we're going back into shit town. So,
yeah, this is. Do you think Days of Future Past is Fox saying, like, you know what, we had a good movie here. Let's add in the original movie. Ugh. Do you think that's what they're doing with this? Because I think Fox is just trying to get more.
Can you imagine if, because Days of Future Past comes out this week, can you imagine if that movie makes $93 million in its opening weekend, too? This will be the month of opening weekends, dude.
It's all been, yeah, I mean, May is usually the strong, May and July are the strongest summer months.
Because remember, we had Captain America open up 96, Spider-Man 93, Godzilla, and can you imagine if Days of Future Past opened up in the 90 millions as well, whatever. It will probably be the highest grossing summer of probably a while. Well, probably since 2012.
And we're not even done yet.
Yeah, and it's not even done yet, but 90 million back-to-back on two different movies? I don't remember the last time that's been done.
Yeah, well, Neighbors, what Neighbors make opening weekend? Was it like 50, 60?
60, I believe.
Which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
And we still got Malnificent.
That comes out at the end of the month as well.
Then Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, that's right.
Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the
Apes. And we're gonna pretty much end the summer with Guardians.
Oh thank God.
Which I think that could be over 100.
Most Marvel movies do, so.
True. But where would you rank this on your like top five of superhero movies?
Of superhero or just
of all superhero movies, Marvel, DC.
Damn.
Where would you rank this? Where would you rank First Class?
It definitely is in my top five. I would just put it at five for now.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't be shocked if it had been in my top three, though.
Really? Because I know how much you love Avengers.
Yeah, I love the Avengers. I told you, man, when I was growing up, X-Men was my shit, though. That was my book.
So this was probably the truest comic book movie, or for X-Men, that you've seen.
For X-Men movies, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't think the other three even touched with those stories. X-Men were the first comic books I've ever had, and growing up to them, I had before I started branching off, getting more, whatever. That's all I had was the X-Men books. I even have the Blu-ray set of the X-Men cartoon show and shit like that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, even the Evolution one they did with the younger ones, I thought that one even captured better tones than what the fucking movies did. I think the movies are poor attempts of what. I think they just made them dumb action in movies.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the worst adaptations I have ever seen, as far as what the story really is about, and I don't think the movies capture any of that besides this one. And I'm not saying this one doesn't, like, full-fledged into it, but it does capture the moments of what it is.
Yeah. And when are you seeing Days of Future Past? When are you seeing that?
Tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tonight. So, yeah.
Well,
some questions now.
All right.
Andrew, he says, Sigourney is most famous because of Aliens, but she has her hands on a lot of TV and films these days. I personally think she's amazing and the queen of sci-fi films. What do you guys think of her? I hear a lot of people give her that title. A lot of women in sci-fi.
Yeah, I would say take out Aliens. What has she done?
She's done a lot of TV and films, like I said.
What, though? I don't remember seeing her on any TV.
She's in a lot of TV shows, but go ahead and look it up. I bet if you look it up, her list goes on and on and on and on. Aliens is her most known work because she was actually the main star of the movie.
Yeah, and I do love Aliens.
There's not a lot of women in sci-fi, that's why. So.
No, Avatar. She's in the Cabin in the Woods, Abduction, Paul. Where's TV at? Yeah, I don't see your TV. She doesn't do a lot, but when she does, she doesn't go for like crappy stuff.
She wants to make her role is important or whatever.
Yeah, she was in.
Unless she's just doing it for James Cameron.
She was in The Village.
And there's not a lot of women in sci-fi.
Nah, you're right. Because there's not much sci-fi.
I mean, most sci-fis usually start the male dominance, I guess. I'd like to see a female sci-fi film, to be honest.
Would that be Lucy? With Scarlett?
I only saw one trailer of it. I don't know what the... I think it goes more into action.
Would that be action?
I mean, I just saw Scarlett in the sci-fi film Under the Skin, which was fucking amazing. So that was one there. I think that Scarlett Johansson definitely, man, she has really upped her game ever since working with Marvel.
Yeah, she's a household name now.
She's a fucking household name. She's not only proves she's sexy, but she can fucking act her ass off as well, though, because she is fucking amazing in that movie, what she does. What do I think of Sigourney Weaver? I don't really give a shit.
She's forgettable nowadays.
Yeah, she's up there with Ridley Scott now. She's old now.
We're yeah. Like, their time has passed.
Yeah, their time is done. So, you know, best of her is just retire and keep a good name going or whatever. But, I don't know, she still looks good for her age, though.
Yeah, I want to say she's 50, 60.
Wow, really?
She was born in 49.
She looked good in Cabin in the Woods, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I'm sure makeup helped.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Her body was still looking fit and shit, though. I was just like, Roland Winchell, he says, what's your favorite sci-fi film from the 80s? For me, it would have to be Predators. I absolutely love that film.
Well, Predators came out in, like, 2009. I think you're talking about Predator.
That's what he said.
He said Predators.
I said Predator.
I'm reading the comments, that's Predators.
Oh, okay.
I'm just being a dick. I'm with him. Predator was fun.
I'm going to Alien.
Was that 79?
Yeah, that was 79.
Yeah, I was still...
You said 80s only? Oh, okay, yeah, you did say only 80s.
Aliens.
Star Wars, that was my favorite one.
What was Close Encounters?
I don't think that was 80s.
Because that was good.
Yeah, that was a lot of...
E.T.?
Fuck E.T. I hate E.T.
Really? You hate E.T.?
I don't give a fuck about E.T.
No, Close Encounters was 77, so yeah, you're right. Predator was fucking badass, though.
That's a badass, man. He got some memorable lines in that motherfucker.
Yeah. Mac and me.
RoboCop.
Yeah.
That could be one. I don't know, man. There's a lot of 80s sci-fi films.
It is. That's where, I mean, do you think it overkilled it in the 80s?
I think that's where it started.
That's a tough question, though. There's so many. Like, you had Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, because that came out in 82, yeah.
Terminator, The Thing.
Aliens. Escape from New York.
Oh, that was good, too. Mad Men.
I know my favorite. I'll go with it. It was a tie between the... You got Flash Gordon, don't forget that either. It was a tie between these two. I was going to go with The Thing. I love John Carpenter's The Thing. Mm-hmm. And Back to the Future.
About to say Back to the Future as well.
Love Back to the Future.
But Blade Runner is badass, though.
Blade Runner is a badass motherfucker, though. Don't forget Mad Max 2, Coop.
I'm looking, and they said they have Halloween 3 as a sci-fi movie.
Well, I guess it is kind of a sci-fi more than a horror movie, right?
It's something, all right.
It is something, all right.
There were so many sci-fi movies in the 80s.
Star Trek Wrath of Khan came out that year, too.
Mm-hmm. Howard the Duck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What about Fly?
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, don't say no more. I'm still sticking with Back to the Future.
I'm gonna go Blade Runner.
Okay, that's good.
There's so many good ones, but there's so many ones you forget. Because 80s, I mean, 90s, I think they overdid them in sci-fi. They went kind of crazy.
I think they tried to capture what the 80s did and didn't get close to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm definitely going fucking Blade Runner, because that's one of a classic. That's a classic movie, too.
That's a cult following classic.
Yeah, and they might make a sequel.
I hear.
that is one of Ridley Scott's. Ridley Scott was a god in the fucking 80s.
Really was. I don't know what the fuck he's doing now, though, but yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I love Back to the Future. That is my shit. I gotta go back.
Back to the Future is a classic. I mean, the second one was good, but I hated the third one, though. I did not like the third one.
You ain't the only one in that one, though. A lot of people hate the third one. I haven't seen the third one in a while, so I can't comment, but I remember they were in the West, right?
Yeah, I did not. It was like, I think it took place on a train most of the time.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. Yeah, you know what I did? And don't forget the Karate Kid, too.
That's not sci-fi!
Sci-fi, man. Sci-fi.
I can't wait till we do a Karate Kid on fucking Throwback Tuesday.
You should mention that.
Oh!
Next question comes from Steve. He says, "Hey, Zeke, so did you see Godzilla? And if so, did it prove you wrong, or did you end up having worse feelings about it?"
Well, yes, I did see it. I saw it yesterday, or I saw it Friday. Yes, it my feelings were exactly right. I was completely right on that movie. I said this on here, like, with Kawago, right? That if I saw it and I liked it, and I was wrong, I would admit it. But I was right. This movie is completely garbage.
Bullshit. Damn. Strong feelings about it.
Well, listen to the movie spoilers review of Godzilla. You're with me.
Oh, hell, I hated the movie. The more time that passes from me that I see the movie, the more I think about it. I had just a long discussion with someone over Twitter about it, someone I never even talked to, and we just kept going over them. He kept bringing up more problems. I was like, you know what? You're making me feel like I need to drop my rating a little bit lower now, because, goddamn, I mean, I gave it a low streaming. That's only because of Bryan Cranston. I mean, it's a two-hour film, and you pretty much, even with that last 30 minutes of the fight scene, you only see Godzilla for half of the film, because they keep switching back. The humans are only there to create problems for themselves. Like, that whole missile thing.
Yeah.
If they would never turned it on in the first fucking place, they would never be in the end of that movie. Would they not be in that movie scene?
No, they wouldn't. And the thing is, like, we've all seen, like, the general, admiral, whatever, that they never listen to the scientist. They do what the fuck they want. This one, I think it was David Strahan, yeah, whatever. He actually was like, well, what's your... He kept asking Watanabe what his opinion was. I'm like, bullshit. No general is going to fucking ask that shit.
Another thing was, too, they're by a military base, and fucking Aaron Taylor Johnson is the only one that's a bombed destroyer or whatever. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. He's the only one that's been training in this shit.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Olsen, what they did with her was a fucking, oh my god.
It's a crime, because we know she's good. She was great in Old Boy. I loved her in Old Boy.
She's a fucking great actress right now. If I have to say one of my favorite upcoming actresses, it's definitely her.
Yeah, and
she had nothing to do.
She didn't.
And Watanabe, man, he looked like he lost his keys or something like that. Motherfucker was constantly looking up at the sky and shooting his mouth open.
He looked constipated.
He looked like he had something to say but just couldn't get the words out.
He looked constipated.
And he's fucking amazing. We did a movie on here with him in Inception where we know he's fucking amazing.
And we can throw in someone that, didn't they win a fucking award recently?
Oh my god, yeah.
That she was completely misplaced. Because I saw her in the... I completely forgot she was in the movie. And I saw her on the screen, I'm like, oh, okay. And then, like, what'd she do?
And that whole thing, me and Leigh got into a discussion on the review about Godzilla's presence was felt. I was like, when? After an hour?
It was an hour.
It was, directly right on an hour when he shows up, right? But what was the first thing you see of him besides his back?
You mean his scales?
Yeah, his fucking scale. You see his fucking foot.
His foot, and then he just, you know, they shoot those red flares, and the camera pans up, and he just screams, and then what's next? You see the fight on TV.
Man, what was it? But when you saw his foot, the next thing you see is him roaring.
Yeah.
And you just sitting there like, oh, we about to get it on now. And the next thing you see, that scene you just described, and then next you know it, you see Elizabeth Olsen telling her kid, go to bed now. He's just like, and then you see in the back of the TV like this big fight going on. You're just like, what the fuck? Okay, man.
Yeah, it's, they complete, I mean, and shall we say it? Shall we say the ending?
Yeah, hell yeah. This is a fucking spoiler site, so shit.
Okay. They made Godzilla into a fucking hero.
He's a fucking pussy.
They made him into a fucking hero, and they showed him walking back to the ocean, and what did the fucking news have it on there on TV? Our savior.
King of monsters.
I'm like, fuck you.
The funny thing is, he didn't destroy nothing. He just kept walking right back to the ocean. I was just like, okay, man.
He was getting shot at, and he would not be pissed.
Like I said in the review, I don't like when that happens. I like my creatures to be a force of nature.
They kind of played this along the lines of the remake of King Kong.
Yeah.
Where they brought him to the city and he didn't destroy shit unless he was getting attacked. And plus, his lone goal was to save Anne, or whatever her name was.
Plus, I also love the scene, the fact that this Godzilla hasn't been seen for almost 20 goddamn years and shit. Even though he's bigger than whatever, he still has not been seen for 20 years until now. I'm just like, where the fuck was he hiding?
Yeah.
Well, was he hiding in that building in New York where that egg was in that last Godzilla movie?
where the military lost him?
The whole time before this movie came out, they kept making such a big deal of how gigantic Godzilla is. You never once feel that in this movie.
No. And
I never once felt him like huge and anything like that.
I just don't understand. I mean, yes, you can't just have two monsters killing each other in a series. You got to have a little human aspect.
They set up a fight scene like three times in the movie and you don't see either one. It's just like, "Oh my god."
The human aspect was 70% of the movie.
It really was.
And they just caused more problems than they did. And I didn't understand what these other creatures were, because that was never mentioned in at all the trailers.
And that's all they kept talking about in this movie, and yet you still don't give a fuck.
They gave these, what are they called?
Muntos, I think, something like that.
It sounds like a fucking alcoholic drink.
It's an abbreviation or whatever. I think you thanked me on this criticism, my man. I said, this is tough for the Django case.
Yeah, I love your comparison on that.
Where the title character is in the movie lesser than any other actors. Where people say, like, Jamie Foxx was amazing, and I'm just like, he didn't even get nominated, number one, and number two, he's barely on screen, and even though the movie's named after him, well, Godzilla, he's in the movie for 20 fucking minutes.
What they said in the trailer was a complete lie, because they made these other monsters the star. Which what are you supposed to do in a trailer? You're supposed to get people to come see it. Obviously, they did their work. They did what was right, because they got $93 million.
$93 fucking million, yeah.
So they did what was right, but they lied to us.
Which is what trailers do. I don't mind that happening, but at the same time,
No, this was a bad. This was a bitch. You're getting fucking bitch slap type of lie.
Blue balls movie.
Yeah. Godzilla. It's if you just go see it for Bryan Cranston for 25 minutes and then fucking walk out.
First of all, the way I would have marketed this movie, I would have marketed those creatures were in the film, and I wouldn't have showed Godzilla at all.
Then it wouldn't be a Godzilla. Well, it's not a Godzilla movie.
I don't consider it to be Godzilla. I would have showed those creatures in the trailer, and then I would have had at the end, like, I would have set it up like these creatures, like, I don't know, I would have set the trailer up a tone where these creatures destroying the world and shit like that, but who's gonna stop? I would have showed the back of his scale or hear that roar in the background. I would have never showed Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I would have kept him a mystery or whatever.
This, if it wasn't for the stars, if they didn't have so many good actors in this movie, this would have been a Saturday night sci-fi channel movie.
The thing that's more insulting about the movie, though, is that they had the talent in here.
And they were wasted. Cranston was the only one that gave 110%.
There were so many good actors in here that I seen get just shifted to the side. I was just looking like, I can't tell if this is a bigger insult than having no-name actors in here that were horrible.
Yeah, you had Cranston, Johnston Taylor, Olsen, Wannabe, Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins, too, yeah.
It was a mess. And Olsen, you said this too, Olsen, she is an up-and-comer.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of work lately.
She's absolutely beautiful. She was beautiful in this, too.
She serves no purpose.
She's just there for the love interest, because you got to have a fucking love interest.
They could have just hired any bitch off the street to do her role. I don't even remember any lines she had. The problem with the movie is it's unmemorable. I don't remember a damn thing from the movie.
Not even the last 30, because you do rave on that one.
I like that the fight scene, but I have a problem. I'm 50-50 on the ending because I have a problem with it because it cuts back and forth between the fight and the humans.
And the fighting. You don't really see what these new creatures look like really well. It's so dark.
They look like fucking Cloverfield monsters, cheaper version.
They look like ladybugs.
That's a damn shame where how much did Cloverfield cost? $30 million found footage film monster looked better than your fucking $170 million film monster.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla did look pretty cool, though. I'm not going to lie. He looked cool.
Yeah, his foot looked cool. It was big.
And obviously he has some blue flames in his mouth.
Love that blue flame, baby.
Which I think, was that from the original Japanese ones?
Man, I love it. You remember when Ken Watanabe said, we call him Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Did you not want to laugh at that when he said that?
Yeah, why does every Godzilla movie's got to have a Japanese shit in it?
I don't know.
And they say,
last question here, though, before I get pissed off about this movie and drop a rating real quick.
I'm totally riding you. It's a low stream it, just due to the fact of Cranston's awesomeness. But
that's the only thing I can save from there. But Adriana, she says, so love those cereal commercials. What cereal would you bring back if you had the power to bring it back?
I have to look at old cereals that aren't around anymore.
Oh, I got one. Urkelos.
Shut up. You never ate those. You never ate those.
I had them once.
What was it, just Cheerios?
Oh, Laura, my darling, I got a cereal you'll love me for.
That just proves that anything can have a fucking cereal.
Back in the 80s, yeah.
Adam's Family cereal.
Oh, they had that, remember?
Yes. Batman had cereals. Batman had a bunch of cereals. Where's the X-Men cereal?
Oh, they went around in the 80s, so...
Bill and Ted had a cereal.
Wow.
Cabbage Patch Kids. Oh, God.
Yeah. Who would you bring back, though?
I don't know. I'm looking. They had some terrible cereal. Where's the crow? I want the crow cereal.
The crow cereal. I want my Terminator cereal.
They probably have that.
I want my Predator cereal. Comes with a flashing red light.
I would say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal.
Yeah. Cereal. With the red flashing red light tri-beam.
Back in they had Uncle Sam cereal back in 1908. Uncle Sam cereal back in 1908.
The Michael Bay cereal.
Have you noticed that they have all this markable shit, like Marvel and shit, and they don't make new cereals for that?
I don't think nobody gives a fuck about cereal. That's why.
You don't think? Well, they got the waffle taco at Taco Bell.
It's one of those things where it's in the store. They'll pass by it. They'll buy it. They don't need marketing for it.
Yeah.
It's like, why waste the money? I guess, you know.
I mean,
because you know why? Why waste the money now? We're kids have like DVRs where they fast forward to commercials and shit.
OJ had his own cereal?
Oh hell yeah. It's stabbing knives and black gloves, yeah.
No, it says OJ's, the OJ's from Kellogg from the '80s.
Oh, you're talking about them OJ's,
oh
okay.
Oh, that's not OJ Simpson, right?
Yeah, Dennis Rodman had his own cereal.
I'll bring back Mr. T cereal.
Bring back Mr. T. Hanging out Mr. T. Oh my God. Well people, that's been another edition of Throwback Tuesday, episode 50. Great episode, by the way.
Great, it's great when we have comic book movies, because we already said we're doing all Marvel in August.
Well, once again, I'm the phenomenal one.
This is Z from the fancritic.com.
Catch people next week. Later, bastards.
Later. Godzilla sucks.
Godzilla, fuck that.